We just read these words. My God, why have you forsaken me? As many of you may have experienced in your spiritual lives, there are ups and downs, highs and lows in the spiritual journey. There are mountaintop moments when you feel and see and trust the presence of God close to you. And there are times when that feels absent. In one of my personal dark nights of the soul, it seemed that no amount of prayer, no amount of trying, no amount of strength could make me feel the presence of God near me. So I thought it must have been my problem. Am I not trusting enough? Am I not praying enough? Am I not reading my Bible enough? Am I not sacrificing enough? Someone in my life even asked me the question, is there a place in your life that you're being disobedient? Because why else would God feel so far from me? It was in that season that I came across this verse. And I was so struck by this truth. No one had ever told me, or I had not remembered, that Jesus Christ, the one that we gather here to worship, the perfect one, the faithful one, he felt distant enough from God to ask, God, have you forsaken me? God, have you abandoned me in my time of need? Jesus had his spiritual mountaintop at the beginning of this story that we heard. And I imagine that the memory of the palms and the praise is still in his mind when the shoe drops. And Pilate, the state leader, caves to the pressure of this religious mob that is calling for his death. So he becomes completely abandoned by his public following and also his closest friends. It's only two women who are with him in his last moments, Mary Magdalene and Mary, his mother. These two women are witnesses, so I would invite us to imagine what they are seeing. Shouting of praise and palms, the palms flying in the air, waving in the air as people shout in worship. And in the same story, people shouting, crucify him. Praising, shouting, crucify him. And now we're in this third space of silence. Now it's only Jesus, all alone. And instead of all of these voices crying for different things, it's just one voice. Jesus praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe you have asked the same question, but maybe with different words. My God, where are you? My God, where were you when my loved one needed you? My God, where is your life-giving life in a world that seems so death-dealing? My God, how long will you delay your justice? My God, when will you make me well? And while these questions seem to be threatening to faith and trust, the reality is every time we utter these words, every time we say, my God, there is someone who understands us. Jesus knows that we live in a death-dealing world. Jesus knows not just spiritual suffering, but as Ajua reminded us this past week, Jesus was flesh. Jesus was embodied. And therefore, Jesus experienced different layers of suffering. Suffering from the body being in pain. Suffering that comes from God not showing up how you thought God was going to show up. Suffering that comes from feeling abandoned by those who said they loved you. And suffering that comes, as we saw in the story, when systems and powers and leaders are so threatened by you, they decide to crush you. So our cries and our innermost longings that pray, "How long, O Lord, and my God," they do not separate us from the grace and power of God. Instead, every my God is actually an echo of Jesus' very own prayers. When we ask these questions and feel these ways, we might not be as distant from God as we thought. We actually might be close to the Spirit of Christ. For every my God, where are you, that we might pray, I pray that we hear the voice of Christ saying, "Where am I? I am with you." I speak these words this morning, acknowledging and naming that in this congregation and in our human community on a macro level, it has felt like a prolonged Lent. Lent, the season that is captured by this image and theme of wilderness, may have felt to you like a spiritual wilderness, a season of emptiness, a season of loss. Because the world is being the world. As we say here at CERT, life is being life. And human beings continue to shout, "Crucify him, crucify her, crucify all of them." Religious mobs continue to fight over who deserves to live and who deserves to die. This scripture is just a mirror of our reality. But the same God who is with us in the praising of the palms is the same God who is with us in the pain. The same God who, in just 7 days from now, will rise and offer us life and resurrection, is the God who now and all of Holy Week will be with us as we travel through the valley of the shadow of death. Because God's exchange rate is better than ours. And when we have nothing else to give, God is able to hold the crumbs of our lives, the pain, the wounds, and the death, and be with us. As we enter into this Holy Week, quite literally the world of Christian community, we'll remember the story of Jesus' death and suffering. The story reveals what human beings are capable of. But in this, as Lisa began our time together saying, we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid. For every my God, we speak, we can trust that Jesus, the Beloved One, is inhabiting our prayers. The Spirit is with us. And we can trust that no matter what happens between now and when we all see each other again next Sunday, that God will meet us there. that while there will be pain in the night, resurrection is coming. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.